Welcome back, guys. Welcome to another episode with Kirk and Vince. We're here to have another candid conversation with you. Today, we're going to be discussing relationships. Vince, I know in your class that you teach, you've had many conversations, relationships, integrity, perseverance. But today, you and I really wanted to dig in and start talking about relationships and try to kind of dig in and understand some of the nuances that people deal with in that area.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that kind of come up, well, actually there's several, but of course people seem to be wrestling a lot with understanding their relationships between people, but it seems like we always approach our relationship with God a little bit different. We don't tend to put in the same kind of work that we'll do in a relationship. If I have a friendship with somebody, or I have a relationship like with my wife, we've been married for 19 years now. It takes work to be in a relationship. You have to fight for time. You have to schedule time. You have to create boundaries of protection around that relationship to keep it as a priority. And you do the same thing. You do those things with relationships you want. You do it with your friends. You do it with your family. And it's the same thing when it comes to relationships with God as well. I mean, we have to create that priority in our life to make him preeminent, to make him the most important one.
You know, you said something right there. I really want you to kind of back up just a second and expound on it just a little bit. You talked about putting things within boundaries, and you specifically used your relationship with your wife as an example. And I frequently have had people ask me, how do you keep yourself pure? How do you keep yourself from chasing after other women? And I always tell them exactly what you said. You've got to set up very defined boundaries. Just because you're a leader in the church, just because you're a man of faith, does not mean that the natural desires just naturally go away. But what you do have to do is you have to set up very defined boundaries so that it's almost like a line in the sand, say, I will not cross this line. You know, I will not go within this arena, to the point sometimes, at least the way I've always explained it to other men, is there may be times that a woman may approach you and try to be very friendly, and you may have to physically draw a line in the sand saying, hey, in that situation, bring your spouse up, bring your wife and kids up, find a way to bring up that I am not available. We are not going to go there, but without directly saying it to them, you're being very casual, very cordial, but you're drawing that line in the sand saying, no, these are boundaries. Look, I have a wife and kids. You know, this is not something that we're going to pursue, right?
Right. No, and that's the case. And the truth is, any relationship, just like anything, and relationships, although we're talking more about with God and with people, you have relationships with all kinds of things. You have a relationship with your job, with your car, with maybe even food or some other kind of substance. You have some sort of interaction, a relationship with it. If it occupies a place of priority in your life, then you're creating space for it to exist in your world, and it takes priority over other things. Whether it's your intention or not to put something over someone else, you do. You know, it's when you're young, of course, in a perfect world, we would all grow up with two parents and everything would be beautiful and simple and easy that way. But let's just use the model for a moment. In a world where you grow up as a child, your parents begin as more of a priority person and people in your life. And as you grow older, your friends begin to take some of that, and then you get, you become an adult, you find that special someone, and then you begin to prioritize them in your life. So even your parents and your siblings and your friends, although they still occupy a place of priority in your life, they don't occupy as high of a place. So everything gets shifted and moved around for this very person that you have said, okay, I want to dedicate my life to them, I want to spend my life with them, I want to do life together. I want us to travel together and do this thing we call life and family together. And it's the same thing that that should be happening as we get saved, as we connect to God, as we should be shifting those other relationships and priorities so that God takes the higher place. And then as we start to do things, jobs, ministry, other things like that, those things are relationships that we have, and they can, just like people, distract from the priority. And a lot of times they do, because we say we do things in the name of God, and that's not relationship.
Yeah, I love the fact that you said sometimes you have to shift priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been many times that people in the business world and in the ministry world have prioritized their work or their ministry over their families, and they have lost their family. Now, there's nowhere in the gospel that says that we're supposed to lose our family intentionally for Christ.
Yeah.
It says, blessed are those who lose father, mother, sister, brother for the faith. But it's not saying that we're supposed to actively do that. It's saying that if they reject you for receiving Christ, not that you're supposed to pursue that thing over them at all costs. Because God gave us our children. They gave us our wife. He gave us our wife, right? He allowed us to enter into a covenant relationship with her. And because of that, we need to honor the gift that God gave us through our wife and then through our children. I don't know about you, but when I stand before the great white throne of God, I don't want to be able to hand my crown to him missing the jewels that would be my wife and children, right? That would be kind of embarrassing, going before God and say, hey, here's my crown, but you know, the main jewel in the center's gone, and then the mm-hmm. other the jewels are kind of cracked and broken because I half decimated my family, because I put them second place in my life, and I put my job and my ministry. Of course, God, you were always first, but the job and ministry were second, and then there was my family. I don't think that gels well with what the word teaches us. But well, a lot of times people have done that.
Then you have to wonder if, were you really putting God first?
Exactly. But
so I'm going to mess with you on that one.
Come on.
If somebody's saying that they're going to lose their family and they're saying, well, I'm doing the ministry of the Lord and I'm doing the work of God. Well, are you really having a relationship? Or are you just doing something? Make yourself feel good.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of, when you said that just hit me. That just stood out to me on that. Like, how many of us, how many ministers and pastors and man, look, if there might be some PKs that see this, some pastors that are listening to this going, that's exactly what happened in my life. And look, to you guys, I know from Kurt and myself, we'll say, look, that's not the way it's supposed to go. That's not how God has intended things. But look, your parents aren't perfect. They're doing the best they can with what they got. And by what they got, I mean, look, everybody's got dramas and traumas and things that we go through. And sometimes we learn through traditions and teachings and expectations instead of what the word actually says. So it's possible that their parents have come up under a teaching that wasn't 100% correct. It might not have been wrong, but it just might have been the way it was communicated. It wasn't 100% right.
Completely agree with you. I couldn't agree more. We have to make sure that we prioritize God over everything. But yeah. After that, we need to make sure that we honor the relationship that God has given us in our wife and then our children. Right. But going back to one of the other portions of this conversation, in day-to-day relationships, as mm-hmm. we go through our life, how do we make sure, like as you've been talking to your students, as you've talked to other leaders, how do you recommend or counsel others to properly put their relationship with other people and their family in line with their relationship with God?
Well, you have to make the priority then. So if God's going to be your number one and anything and everything else is going to be second to that or third or whatever place it occupies, I mean, there's basic things that you have to do that you kind of do with everybody, but it's a little different. Like, one, you want to get to know God, you want to get to know who he is, and he makes it available right there in his word, in the scripture. He kind of lays out this example of some basics of who he is, right? There's that he can't stand for sin, but yet he's got compassion to make a way for us to come back and be able to spend that time with him, to have that relationship with him through Christ coming to the earth, right? For him being born sinless and living a perfect life and dying and raising again for us. So there's that aspect in scripture that talks about it. The other one is, and you know, it's sometimes it's funny when I talk to people, like, man, you make it sound so simple, but the truth is it really is. Just talk to him. Often we use the label of prayer, and prayer does take a connotation of seeking and asking for certain things. But there's also the factor that just talk to him. Wake up in the morning, talk to him. Wake up in the afternoon. I mean, go in the afternoon as you're going through your day. Man, God, you know, I really enjoyed lunch today. Thank you so much for giving me the ability to have that meal with my friend today. Or you know, Lord, I just didn't like this. That sucked. That bothered me really bad. And, you know, help me to get over it. That doesn't sound extremely complicated. That's not, okay, I need you to go in the corner. I need you to kneel on some nails. I need you to do 50 repetitive statements and then get up and make sure that you bleed on your legs for the next 10 hours until I deem that it's good. That's not what it is. And then the other time is you got to spend time listening. You wonder, well, what does God sound like? And is it an audible voice? Not typically. A lot of times it sounds like your voice in your head. And one of the ways I tell people you usually know it's not you, it's God, is it's the fact that he'll typically ask you to do things that you don't necessarily want to do. Hey, why don't you get up and go help somebody do this? And you're like, I'm really comfortable right now in my chair. I don't feel like getting up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like sometimes they'll say, hey, why don't you go help your neighbor fix their fence? Or why don't you help your neighbor carry their groceries in? Or why don't you help the old lady across the street, you know, do maintenance in her flower bed? And you're like, but God, I don't want to do weed pulling this week. That was not on my agenda. You know, that's not on my agenda. It's 110 outside. What are you talking? And it's like, there's this still small, gentle voice. And he's like, be my hands and be my feet, right? So what I'm really hearing you say is that we have to take that same level of intentionality that we do with our relationships that we have in our life, whether it's our wife and children, our best friend, and take that same priority and use it with God, is what I'm hearing you say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the last thing that I tend to tell them is, look, if you're not sure what you're hearing is right, then just compare it with the scriptures that you read. Compare it with the stuff that's in there. He never violates that. God's not going to be the one to tell you to go rob a liquor store. That's not God.
Of
sorry.
Course not. I mean, if he did something like that, then everybody would be like, what's up with this?
Yeah. So, I mean, he will tell you to go help the old lady to, you know, to carry the mulch into her yard to help her with the gardening.
Well, he may even tell you to go help the drug dealer that's in the gutter that was just beat up. He may tell you to go take him to the hospital and pay his doctor bill. And you'd be like, but Lord. And he's like, but I got plans for that man.
That's true. I mean, you wouldn't be surprised, but some people would be surprised how many people I've met that have testimonies of being drug dealers or being druggies, being drug users. And it was God that rescued them through a random matter of fact. I heard a testimony this morning. Gentleman came up to me and he said, you know, I used to do drugs for many years and I went to the church for help one time. I've been to pastors' help. Nobody helped me. They all said certain things like this. And all of a sudden, this random man showed up one day and told me about Jesus, helped me get a place to stay and for the night, and And he's like, and I gave my life to the Lord that night.
Yeah,
I was
man.
like, I'm blown.
God will completely overthrow our thoughts on things.
Yep.
So, I know a guy that I used to know in Tennessee that he has an incredible testimony. I don't remember all the details, but he has a scar from here all the way to here where he was his throat was slit because of a bad drug deal. And he called out to God. God saved his life. I mean, it was right across the artery. I mean, he should not have lived. He completely dedicated his life to God. He became completely sold out to where he was walking the streets evangelizing for the Lord. And to this day, I believe he still does that. The last time I saw him in Tennessee before I moved back, he was still actively chasing after people to tell them about God and the wonderful love that God has for them and the grace and mercy that he has. And you can see the light. And knowing the past that this man had, he was a rough dude. But then knowing where he is today, looking at the light that shines through his face, it's not the same person. So God will take us if we allow ourselves to be intentional with our relationship with him and that we properly prioritize that relationship. And what I mean by that is if we put proper boundaries in our life, even with our wife and kids, where we say, honey, I need to spend some time with the Lord today. I need to be intentional with my time with the Lord. Because what happens, Vince? You and I have been there before. We know many, many ministers that have been there. You get busy with your daily routine. Your routine gets messed up, right? And for some reason, you don't get to go through the normal day-to-day actions. And so you don't get your morning or your evening, whatever your normal time is, right? You don't do your normal thing. Well, when that happens on a regular basis, it affects the quality of your relationship. And it's not because God stops listening. The problem is when we stop spending time with him on a regular basis, we ourselves are the ones that are beginning to draw further away. And it's exactly like when our wives are calling to us through the house and we're in a back closet somewhere in a bedroom working on something and she's hollering, expecting that we hear. But the reality is we've drawn so far away from her voice that we don't hear what she has to say. So when we're not spending time with the Lord, it's as if we've walked further away. Sometimes we've got so far away to where we're almost in another room surrounded by other things that are overwhelming the voice, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Jesus tells us that my sheep know my voice and to another they will not listen. The funny thing is if someone goes and looks at how sheep actually work with a shepherd, that's exactly what they do. They can have people yelling across the fence the same orders that the shepherd would yell out. And if it's not the shepherd's voice, they won't even budge. They'll barely even blink at them. But the moment the shepherd gives a little yelp, those sheep perk up and they begin to take notice. They begin to move and begin to follow the cadence of the shepherd. Why? Because they spent time with the shepherd. They know the tones of the shepherd's voice. They understand how he sounds. And when we spend time with the Lord, we come in cadence with him. And as he begins to speak, we know very clearly, is it him or is it us? Like you said, it's many times he speaks in our mind, in our heart. And a lot of times it sounds a lot like our thoughts. But when you spend time with the Lord, you begin to understand very clearly, oh, that was me. Or no, that was just a random thought. Or, whoa, Lord, I felt the holiness of your presence on that. There's something deep there, Lord. Show me more.
No, I mean, absolutely. That's, man, it's like anything. The longer you do it, the more you know. You know, the longer you're with your spouse, the longer you know. I mean, their voice specifically. And that was a great example you used about being in the house. Just the other day, I was in the living room. I was talking with my wife, and I walked into the kitchen. Well, in the kitchen, the dishwasher was going, and I had to turn on the sink. And I could hear that my wife was talking, but I didn't hear what she was saying. So, yeah, there's things that sometimes that try to interfere with all that stuff, and for me to be able to hear my wife with all that going on, I had to walk back into the living room and say, okay, I'm listening. So you have to always prioritize and go back to that place to hear. And that place isn't necessarily a specific physical place. It's just it's a mental, it's an emotional, and sometimes it is a physical place. Sometimes you need to be like, you know what? I need to get out of here. I need to go talk to the Lord, and I need to listen for what he's telling me.
One of the things I'm hearing you say is also it's not convenient. You're in the middle of doing something else in the kitchen. You had to go back and say, I'm listening. So it wasn't convenient for you because you had to stop what you were doing, inconvenience yourself, walk in and say, hey, honey, I'm listening. What's going on? And that's exactly the way it is with the Lord. Sometimes the Lord's whispering to us. He's not going to yell. He expects that we're going to be close because he wants us to have our ear close to his heart, right? So when that's the case, he's not going to yell across the room at us, and he's expecting that we have our ear close to him. So if we have moved ourselves away, we have not been intentional and remained in an area to where we can get his direction. And when we have God's direction, there's moments in our lives to where he's going to walk us through hard times, and he's going to lighten the load of that hard moment if we remain in him. But if we allow the stress of the moment, and we both have had different moments in many different ways, but one of the most relatable ways I can say would be like a situation that happened to me at work. I had a situation where a guy that previously was running a job, he let some things slide and some permitting expired. Well, I had the opportunity to completely freak out because now permits are expired. You know, we've got to go get inspections done. What am I going to do? Well, I heard the Holy Spirit very gently whisper to me, don't take the weight of this, only figure out the solution. Now, that's not always easy to do, Vince, especially when you have lots of high-pressure jobs, right? But the reality is you and I, as believers in God, as in followers of Christ, joint heirs with Jesus, we have the responsibility to lay things down at his feet and say, you know what? My flesh was crucified with Christ on that cross. I was raised again with Christ from the dead when he was resurrected. And because of that, I literally am like a dead man. I have no right to give in to fear. I have no right to give in to the hopelessness, but I do have the right to live in victory as a son because that is my inheritance. So we need to make sure that we stay in proximity so that we remember who we are in him. Because if we don't, if we even allow the momentary distraction of the enemy when he's throwing those darts at us in those moments, if we hold on to that dart and that flame that's trying to overtake us and we don't take the water of the word that God already gave us to extinguish those darts, then we ourselves are allowing that thing to fester and grow, which affects the relationship we have with God, just like it would affect the relationship with our spouse if we let work or whatever else get in the way and fester up in between us and our spouse, right?
Right. Well, here's a question for you. Sometimes if your wife asks you to do something, even if it's something that you don't necessarily enjoy doing, what's the main reason that you do it?
That's a very easy answer. Love.
There you go. I mean, and that's how it goes. The closer and the more time you spend with God, the more that love in the relationship grows, and the easier it is, even if you don't want to do it, even if it hurts, even if it's hard. And I shouldn't just say easier, but there's a part of it that is easier. It might be a little easier to say yes. It might be hard to walk it out, but it's easier to say and mean it and be like, yeah, I'll do that. And
I agree.
Then you have to walk it out. It's hard. I mean, look, if your wife says, hey, I want you to clean out the garage, and you know that's a five-hour project, obviously it's not going to be easy. Saying yes, absolutely, honey, I love you, I'll do it, but it's going to take some work.
Especially when you planned on sitting on your, you know, blessed assurance for the next 6 hours watching football all day or soccer or hockey or basketballs or whatever, you know. or you've decided that you had some side project that you wanted to work on, but you got reassigned. You're exactly right. It's not convenient, but because the love we have for our spouse, we will rearrange our schedule to make sure that it gets done.
And it's the same thing. Why would you, what reason would you plan and move and shift things in your day to take your children to a soccer game, to an event that they might be doing, to go see them perform in a music festival or at a game on a Friday night? Why would you go? What would be the reason that would say, I'm going to shift everything I'm doing? I'm going to change obligations in my life. I'm going to move things around. It's the fact that you love them. And when you love someone, you spend time with them.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the whole thing. When you spend time with God and you do it, and again, it doesn't have to be 3 hours in the morning or 3 hours in the night, and that's all you get. If you're a 3 hour person, man, that's awesome. I would love to be that way. But some of us are not. We're that, I need that all day conversation. I need that all day time of prayer or venting or listening, because I haven't trained my mind to mentally stand still for 3 hours. I mean, it
Oh,
would be
you're not
great
saying that you're a
to,
little
but
distracted, are you, Vince?
just a wee bit, just a tad bit,
It's
as
very
you are
interesting.
aware.
Oh, you know, if you me too. Hey, but you know, Paul told us that we're supposed to pray continuously
Right,
without
right.
ceasing. So that goes right back to what you're saying, that we need to be continuously on the ready, continuously in fellowship with God, continuously communicating with Him. So we should be talking to Him, meditating on the word, praying to Him. So he's not literally saying 24/7 pray. I mean, that wouldn't be feasible. You wouldn't be able to work, you wouldn't be able to eat very well, you wouldn't be able to even sleep. So, you know, and nobody wants to see you or me without sleep. That's just not a
No.
pleasant experience. But, you know, even beyond that, you know, the practical thing Paul is trying to tell us is that we need to be in continuous fellowship with our Creator. That we need to be intentional with meditating on the word, intentional in prayer, intentional in fellowship. And by doing that, we maintain that close proximity with God. And that way, when he begins to whisper, even in the thickest of crowds, we'll hear his still small voice and we'll know exactly what he's asking us to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. I mean, I think some of the problem that exists for us, especially in church leadership, is that we get so busy and we replace doing for spending time. It's kind of like the Mary Martha dilemma all over again.
Yep.
You know, Mary's sitting at his feet and Martha's doing the work, and she gets mad at Mary for sitting at his feet. And it's like, God, I mean, Jesus, can you tell her to get to work? I mean, we're trying to do this and trying to serve people here, and he's like, I'm not going to tell her to get away. I'm not going to tell her to get up from being in my presence. And that's the same thing. I mean, now, as much as we'd love to, I mean, and a lot of us would love to be able to spend 10 hours a day with just us and God alone. Obviously, you have to put time into your spouse, time into your children, time in at a job so you have a place to live and things like that. So there's things you have to do. Like, but instead of saying, well, that's bad, I can't spend all that time with God in this setting that I've created and it's magical and I've got candles and I've got music and I've got pillows and it's beautiful and it's decorated and all that stuff like that, why not just carry that with you through the day? Why not? I mean, God's not a respecter of where you meet with him anymore. I mean, he told the Samaritan woman that the day would come where it doesn't matter where you worship.
I'm going to really mess with you now, Vince.
Go
I'm going to
for
really mess with your theology and your ideology and your relationships with everyone around you, including your work at this very moment.
okay.
What if what every one of us needs to do is to treat our relationships, our work, and every task, even taking care of our kids, our wife, our job, as praise to God? meaning that we should do it in such excellence that everything we do brings praise to his name. If our wife says, hey, honey, can you go grab me a cup of tea or some coffee? Man, we go do our best to bring her the best cup of tea or coffee that we can. If our boss says, hey, I need you to write this report, we do our best to write not just the bare minimum, the best report that we can so that it glorifies the Lord. And then whenever our kids say, hey, can you take me to Disney on Ice? We're like, oh, Lord Jesus, please no. But we're like, hey, I'm going to take you to Disney on Ice and I'm not going to complain about it so that it brings glory to my Lord and Savior, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what if every action we do, we intentionally did it with excellence?
Well, I mean, now you're just trying to slap me across the face. I mean, you know, because, you know, like I do, for many years, I claimed that I was not much of a writer, and God asked me to put some stuff on paper. And I'm like, you got the wrong guy. Writing stuff down is not my thing. And yet just today I took a few moments and I was trying to pass the buck. Instead of just doing it, I was trying to find a way around it. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I was working on it. That's what I was doing. Yeah, I was working on it. And that's not what was happening. I was trying to pass the buck. So I mean, that was just a good, wonderful slap in the face. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, you're welcome. Absolutely welcome. You know,
so,
go
man,
ahead.
You got me pieces. No, you hit me on the face with that one. But that's true. You know what I'm saying? It's something that we face, and we're human, and we try to find a way out of things. Look, you've got your occasional person who just enjoys working to the bone, but by and large, humans are like rivers. We try to find the easiest way, easiest path to get to the ocean.
I'm going to pop everyone's bubble because I'm one of these people who loves to work. My wife will tell you that. I love to come up with projects. My dad's worse than me. However, the project needs to fall within my boundaries.
And still paths of easy, of least resistance.
So that's the thing. Even those of us who enjoy work, we enjoy to be busy because we just need to shift gears in our busyness to feel relaxed. It, like you said, it needs to follow within our parameters, the easy flow for us. Otherwise, it becomes sometimes an aggravation. And in those moments, we have to die to self, right? So that we can allow our actions towards whatever that other thing is to be a praise to the Lord.
So what you're telling me, Kurt, about you is that it would take you more effort and work to sit down and relax with your family than it would to do a project with your family.
There's a possibility.
Come on, bro.
It would be much easier for me to take my wife and kids on a mission or an outreach than it would be for me just to sit around. It's not easy for me to sit around.
But you, like I know, there is some golden moments that come from being able to stop and take a beat and spend that time, because that time will never be gotten back again. And the memories sometimes that come from those moments, the silliness, the family moments, that those are the moments that will stick later in life.
Completely
those are the
agree
moments
with you.
That when you reach that moment and you pass on and your kids are sitting around the house talking about, oh my gosh, remember that time this, and remember that time that. And it doesn't matter if you guys go on a mission trip or something like that together, but you still make a priority to say, you know what? Our mission trip is 5 days. We're going to take day 6 and 7 and we're going to hang out as a family wherever we are. We're going to find a resort or do something like that.
And that would definitely be good. I will have to admit, most of my stuff is more missional than it is relaxing most of the time. So, Vince, guilty as charged.
But, you know, that's, I mean, and that's kind of how it is, you know, learning throughout the day, especially for you guys that like to be busy and that like to just wake up and gun it and go. And you want projects all day and you want like work, 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 work. There's nothing wrong. I mean, God obviously built you a certain way. And there's nothing wrong with that in itself. It's when it begins to take the priority of, and it's learning to take, even if it is a moment, like you said, God told you, hey, it's all right. Calm down. Don't take that responsibility on. Had you not taken a moment, whether it was 1 minute, 5 minutes or whatever, to kind of just stop and listen, you would have missed it. You would have carried that burden. You would have took it all on yourself. You would have been stressed out. You would have been all messed up in the head. Might have even yelled at your wife and slapped the dog. I don't know.
Who knows, man?
Being silly. But that's kind of the thing. And sometimes those moments, just like if you're not the 3 hour in the morning person, if you're a talk all day person, then your moments should be throughout the day as well.
Stop. And I think that could be the most challenging thing, because whether you're distractible or intensely focused, the result's the same. If you're distractible, you get so distracted that you're not paying attention to the moments. If you're super focused, you're so focused on what you're currently working on that you're not paying attention to those moments. Either way, you've got to become ultra intentional with all of your time so that you're not segregating yourself away from the Father.
You know, I think we've kind of jumped into the second portion of what relationships and how they're important of, and we've kind of been crossing back and forth and making that differentiation between the two. But there's also the factor that the reason that we are involved with people, the reason that we get married, the reason that we have children and have friends and family members that stay in our life, is because that's part of God's plan. I mean, it wasn't a, hey, put me first and literally cut every other human being off. That's not what happened. I mean, look in the Genesis account. He said it's not good for man to be alone.
That's right.
So for Adam, he created Eve, right? And at that point, it's kind of this standard thing. Now, in that sense, it's a relationship like husband-wife, so to speak. But yet, there's also the factor of, it goes beyond that. It does go into fellowship. It does go into interacting with friends and interacting with family and things of that nature. What were you talking about? You said something about early on today about Hebrews 10. We were talking about this before. You said it's not good. What is it? What did it say?
Don't neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaches. You know, if we're drawing to ourselves, we become an island to ourselves, right? You know, I think we can go all the way back to the book of Judges, Kings, where we see Elijah. He just slays all the Baal prophets. He begins to run for his life. He's so afraid of, you know, the queen. He's like, oh, Jezebel's going to kill me. And he runs for his life. He goes and hides in the cave and goes, God, you might as well take me now. I'm the last one. You know, oh, woe is me. God goes, dude, who do you think you are, man? I've got 2,000 more sitting in the cave. You know, I've got them hidden away. And then what do we see later on? Both Elijah and Elisha, Elijah's protege, they become pillars in the school of prophecy of their time. They begin to build schools. So instead of becoming an island to himself, he realizes, I shouldn't be alone. I should never have allowed myself to try to be the Lone Ranger. God has 2,000 prophets set aside. Who am I? Who do I think I am? And he began to be one who begins to pour into others. He helps to build schools. I know I just said that, but this, you know, it's so important that we need to understand that he became a builder of relationships, builder of other people, one that pours into and creates relationship in others to where they themselves can have a relationship with God. Go ahead.
No, I agree. I think it's interesting. I bet if you go back and you were to look at all of the prophets that of the Old Testament, we'd probably be surprised how many of them had some sort of connection with someone, maybe a scribe or somebody that wrote down their stuff or that they interacted with on a regular basis, because they probably didn't just do everything 100% by themselves, no one there. Now, when it came time to speak the word, they might have stood up and said what had to be said, and they were like, hey, I'm going to take the lumps, do whatever. But when they were in those times where they were alone or supposedly alone, or they're receiving their word from the Lord, I don't know that there's times where they weren't with somebody else, maybe a family, maybe a friend, maybe it was a scribe or another prophet or a protege of some sort. Who
Even
knows?
see where Elisha called for the player, the mandrel, I believe it was, or the harp, so that he could get into the presence of the Lord. So they were not islands. They became to the point where they realized they couldn't be an island to themselves.
Right.
They needed those that had gifts that could help draw the presence of the Lord in to bring the voice of God into the assembly. And we ourselves need to learn from those that came before us. We shouldn't assume, oh, I'm an island myself, dude. I mean, all I need is just Jesus and Holy Spirit. My wife doesn't even need to talk. No, that's absolutely false. So many times our wife can be the best, check and balance in our, especially when we're married, as a check and balance in our life. If we feel like the Lord says move across the country, generally if we ask our wives, they're going to be like, are you crazy? Have you lost your noodle?
You must be outside your mind.
I don't think you heard from God right. But then if in fact it's the Lord, generally it's like, let me pray about it. And then they come back and they're like, you know what? This scares the living daylights out of me, but let's go. Let's do it. I feel like this is the Lord. When they come alongside of you and you're in agreement, you know that you've heard the voice and you know that God's in the midst of that thing. And then it's never a bad thing to get your pastor's insight as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, you said it a couple of times about a man being an island. Was it in the very beginning of the of Proverbs 18? I mean, God's like, hey, I've got an important message for you. And I like the way it says in the Amplified, because it just adds some more robust wording to it to make it a little more understandable. And it says in verse 1, it says, he who willfully separates himself from God and man seeks his own desire, and he quarrels against sound wisdom. So that man on an island all alone, don't need anybody thing is, I mean, God makes a specific statement that says, hey, you are raging or quarreling. One version says you're raging against wise judgment.
Ooh,
you gotta go
man.
It alone.
I mean, that speaks volumes right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those cases where if we weren't doing this, you would just stop for a minute. If we were just sitting around the table at home, it would just be like, dang, let that sink in for a minute.
Now, Vince, I know that we need to kind of wrap this up. We've already been going for quite some time now. And
yeah.
If you had anything that you needed to say as a last bit of advice to someone, one of your students, someone that's in the mission field right now, that's struggling with relationships in their church, struggling with relationships in their home, struggling just in general within the relationship category, what advice would that be for them?
And that's a great question. And to be able to sum it up into one thing, I don't know that there would be the best thing I could say at the moment. Maybe one or two things would be this. Number one, man was never, ever meant to be alone. God makes that clear. And, we're first meant to commune with God and then with each other. I like it put like this. There's a song from a band in the early 2000s. It's even the Bruce Almighty movie at the end. It says there's a God-shaped hole in all of us, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember the day that God showed me this other thing. He said, I've put a God-sized hole in you and a man-sized hole in you. And the God-sized hole only I can fill. No man, no thing can fill. But the man-sized hole I put in you so that you can have fellowship, you can have people together. And I've made it where people can fill that. Now, there may be a season where I'm the only one that will fill it, but I made it so that you can have fellowship with other people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He does it alone. So that's, I mean, I don't know if that's advice or not. I know, look, when you're dealing with people, you're dealing with people who are, I mean, you're dealing with humans. We're flawed. We're not perfect.
Yep.
So sometimes you got to have a little bit of grace, even when you don't want to.
I agree. And I think if there's any advice that I would give to people, I remember a quote from Kenneth Hagin in the book, The Authority of the Believer. He talks about how, as believers, we have an expected set of relationships that God has already expected us or preordained, so to speak. And if we choose not to be in a relationship with someone that he has already aligned us to be with, you know, as friends and fellowship partners with, then he may speak, for example, to you one piece of information and to me another piece of information. But if we're not aligned as co-patriots, those that are having fellowship and dividing the word of truth together, then we're going to miss the other half of the message. Because he expects for us to work together. And the reason for that is he doesn't want us to feel like we have no need of anyone else. Because when we become super self-reliant, then we feel like we have made it. We don't need anyone else. And then that gets into pride, arrogance, which that can fall, lead us to a fall. He wants us to realize that we're all a body. Some of us are hands. Some of us are feet. Some of us are the mouthpiece. You know, some of us are the eyes. And in that, we all have strategic parts to play, and none of us are an island to ourselves.
Well, I will say this, and this came up as you said that in kind of that closing. You know how the pastor said, this is my first closing. I've got six more to go. Not really.
Yes.
But I would say this. I believe that one of the reasons God made it that way so that we're together like this, so that we know the very thing, we are not alone. And that's a huge thing that people are going through, especially right now, even post-COVID. Going into COVID, some people felt that way. And post-COVID, it's kind of been exacerbated. People feel alone. They feel like they're the only one going through what they're going through. And the purpose of us fellowshipping together is to say, hey, you're not alone. You're not the only one that's going through it or is going through situation you're going through, so therefore take heart, you know,
take
the story I went through. So
well, just like Vince said, guys, you're not alone. Take heart. If you guys need a prayer request, Vince and I really would love to spend time in prayer to lift you up, lift up your church, lift up your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Please write us at info@mooseministries.org. We would love to hear from you. Also, if there's a topic you would like to hear us discuss, please send it in. Let us know what you're thinking, what your thoughts are. Guys, we thank you for joining us.
See you later.